driving this up here, his wife. Maybe the office 8 hours a day. He's in high tech, maybe the office 12 hours a day. That doesn't reflect what's important to us about it. And likewise, if you're asking to raise this question of how much time should be spending trying to keep the family together, that is not necessarily a function of how important it is. You probably will be spending more time once you're some kind of career in the world, more time trying to make a living, all kinds of other things, and less time, not only with your wife, but your relatives and dads and uncles and all that. So however you want to deal with this question, it is not an automatic equation. The question in people have to speak out of their own experience, and that was to be exposed. Without quantifying this matter, to my mind, it's a very important value. The positive value is in two respects. Number one, for the individuals. Whoever it was, as the phrase is used today, going off the derech, or whatever. If one sincerely and seriously believes that this person's ultimate destiny, this world and the next world, depends upon his Yirat Shamayim, his commitment to Yirat Hashem, how much relative time will you devote to the person that can't speak? You can't make a question how much relative value? Thought you could be curing him? If you gave up on curing him, you might give all your relative a little time to go visit him every so often. If you thought it was something you could do to cure a person, well, any serious disease. Who is my meaning? Bring my meaning. Think that person's ultimate standing is to engage in spiritual terms, no less than physical terms, which is a high priority. One sense, for the sake of that individual per se, whether it's a child, a mate, or whoever it is, secondly, apart from his psychological well-being in spiritual terms, his well-being in familial terms. There are many different ways to handle this issue, but certainly there are many families, and today the barometer is to measure some of these things, within which such a person will find himself a pariah, an outcast. Not every family. Some families are much more liberal than others. But it's an issue which, you know, has been considerably debated in the Jewish world today. How does one relate? So many families in which somebody is married out, or somebody's no longer halakhically observant. And the issues how to relate to them, with them come up all the time. So both in terms of this person's, if you're talking about someone in the family, spiritual well-being, psychological, and sociological well-being. But quite apart from the question was for that person, what about the other people involved? Today, since unfortunately this phenomenon is so common, it's the kind of grief once caused, doesn't exist. Rabbi Yashua's son, it's a different version exactly what happened with him, but apparently he became fried, that's the least. He needs a shiva, he sat 14 days. Gemara says, Chavachemer, Shechina, Yidala, Yeh. We are Yom Kodesh, 7 days, Kodesh, Shechina, Yidala, Yeh. Is that long ago? How long? When I was your age? When I thought about the primordial, pre-star phase. Someone married out, that's the people, it's the Shiva, they start talking to them. And not necessarily people who be Karayim, but that was to them the last straw. It has a Malachi basis as well. Malachi Bamez, which talks about the questions, whether it's possible that someone who had Tush Yisroel to lose it. And also, the Chaim can have a question with this. And we are accustomed to say, no, I don't want to choose all the Jews. We can't decide to leave the Jewish people. And yet, Hamid Kodesh Nais indeed did. Based presumably on the Gemara and the Gemara in the first paragraph. It says even the Kula, Ram Patskin, like the Shimon, the Goy, not a Tabayel, the Deborah, the Goy, the Tabayel, 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 the says if someone totally abandoned Yiddishkeit, or if a group had done that, they, the Kula, no longer Matar Boil, Kula. But leaving all of this aside, it's the grief and the tragedy. Today I say, again, people don't understand. People today, they go to watch Freedom on the Roof. It's a very museum, very nice, very funny. They don't begin to understand the world within which Shlomo Baruch about what he wrote. Families were devastated. Today, as I've said, unfortunately, the phenomenon is so common. You're talking about average intermarriage, 40%, 50%, 60%, depending on which country you're talking about. If a person has the ability to do two things. Number one, to master this person somewhat. Now, that is not an easy job. It makes all kinds of fissures within the family and between the person who has gone off the derech and the person who's trying to bring him back. But it's certainly something worth attempting, even if in the end it turns out to be shukla. Unfortunately, I don't want to say my simchot, you have such issues. But there are many in the course of a year. Many who come, the cousins that they're marrying, their brothers, an aunt, all the time people come, what should they do? Should they stop talking to them? Should they start invite them? Should they attend the quote unquote wedding? A lot of times. I'll speak as someone who can't have a shach in Yisrael. He became an Amalek. Can't have a shach in Yisrael. He can't have it not only physically, but religiously and spiritually. In many cases, there's not much that can be done. But sometimes within a family, something can be done. And both for the sake of the individuals involved, on either side of the fence, and for the sake of the family as a unit, which in a broader sense is the fate of a community, not just a family, a community as a unit. Talking about a small or middle-sized town in America, it's a magnificent. So I know what the other things you're talking about, what, how important they are. Sooner important, but it certainly has a high rate. And families in which such thing happens, it's not always a question of intermarriage, that's an extreme example. But other modes, other forms of abandoning spiritual values, the Cherokee in particular, it can be heartbreaking. So, without quantifying, the answer is relatively, unfortunately, quite a lot of it.
I wanted to ask a little the same. It's a simple question, but it has a. It's not coming from a simple motivation. I guess I'll very simply is God's existence provable?
Adam's near provable. Can it be proven to Ulm, to Shim, to Sol, to Leir? Mary's best answer is no. Can it be proven per se? The answer is yes. Aquinas, in the first question, some theologian deals with this issue. And he says, he was certainly a very believing, believing Jew, a believing guy. And he says, the proposition itself is provable. We don't have the tools. It's about the 13th century, mind, before Hume and before Olbar skepticism. But there are tools to prove it. The part depends what you mean by proof. Can you prove it in the same manner as a person might be able to prove the sun shines by day? Probably not. Want to attain a high measure of conviction, the answer is yes. You speak of proof. You have to ask yourself what that means to you. It means something which is beyond any shadow of any possible doubt. It's clear. That's very difficult to attain. And said, if you're talking about what at one time were considered to be much more valid proofs than it's sustained today. In the medieval world, the assumption that this is barely provable, only an idiot or a dummy would think otherwise. Widespread. That was the common denominator which held together the Christian world, our group, the Muslim world, the goal. Some of the same quote unquote proofs, which then were viewed as being clear and palpable, some people today have been turned on their heads. The Lord once said, through the argument of design, which was a central argument in medieval philosophical writings. He says, speaking about himself, he says he doesn't believe in God because he sees design in nature. He sees design in nature because he believes in God. The identical statement was made by Cardinal Newman in the 19th century. And Newman was working off to a great extent in his book of the Grammar of Assent, which talks about these issues. He's not only talking about certainty, he's talking about certitude. A larger state of mind, which gives a person a sense of certainty. Say Newman, once writing about the difference between inquiry and investigation, distinguished between them, and he wrote that all the propositions of religious life, the one which is most difficult to prove is the existence of God, and the most of which he's totally convinced. Shane, by and large, didn't view things in that kind of prism, through that kind of a prism. And they didn't have doubts. But, and because they didn't have doubts, they were able to play the game as if there were doubts, they were working on it. If you take the Abin Rechai's, he does something no one today would dare do. Virtually no one in our world. He had Akdome, which deals with certain issues, and Shah Yichud. Shah Yichud puts on the table, let's start with scratch. Does he exist, does not exist? Most of the arguments, this way, that way. People who see that they're shocked. It's the way Lishan talks. And many yeshivas, who they love the Chavis HaRovis, because it's a good Musa Sefer, it's also about the Fumka, and the Shemar, and the Lakim, and Av, and Yir, all pressed all the red buttons, but they've got this bone in their throat at the beginning, so what they do is make an end run. Sila Shah Yichud, start after that. It's clear, as many of the so-called profound dialogues written in the Middle Ages, it's a bit of a bluff. The reason Abin Rechaya could play this game, because he was so certain that when all was added up, all the arguments pro and con, that the religious conviction would be clearly the only one which is tenable, so they could pretend that the risk has a question and answers. But that was a bit of a pretense. If one asks whether it's provable, the point of view of a logician, it's very difficult to assert that with total certainty. Then, even if you see events which clearly give you a sense of the presence of Shekhinah in this world, both consider proof, but certainly Hume's terms, but only something which removes every other possibility. If you had 10,000 possibilities, all but one leads inevitably to a religious decision, position. That for a logician is no longer proof. We would live that way, the Meshur tends to live that way. So I come back to Aquinas. Certainly, the person who loses a maimon loses every Hashem. Lives with a deep sense of conviction. One can be certain of anything to one certain of that. But whether it will satisfy someone's clear, logical mind, nothing but that for him.
There's a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, and what is that referring to if it's not referring to existence?
Mitzvah Yediyas Hashem, which imposes upon us a number of values. One of them is the cognitive conviction, which we've discussed here now. That's to know facts, you know facts. You know, Napoleon was locked up in Elba. You know, Baruch Hu's creator of Bershevich. That's on one level. If you look at the Rambam, first of all, you have, of course, the question about the Sefer HaMitzvos, how I translated the Arabic term, itakad, to believe or to accept what we're talking about. But to know the Menschleben is far more to know a fact as if you were dealing with physics or chemistry. To know the Menschleben is to be engaged and involved profoundly and totally in relationship with it. The closest thing that you have to that, and this is Tanakh's full of this, the closest thing that you have is the kind of idea of a Yad of Mitzchav Ishtar. The marriage relationship is that which gets closest, but of course it's very different because it's not an equal relationship, but it's that kind of experiential relationship which the idea is all about. If you look at the Rambam, you have to look at Sefer Bado, but look at it through both ends. The Rambam begins first part of Sefer Tehillim, first part of Sefer Bado. Cognitive, most philosophic terms, like existent causality, etc. So he said that with Chachmoni Dashesh and Matsu Rishon, Matsiko Dimitsa, Parmitsin, Mishra Maras, Majim Shushubayim, Matsu Rishon, Matati Matsu. All the terms of Matsu, Matsu, or exist with this. The Rambam, unlike the Chinuch, does not find any room here in this particular mitzvah for historical events. Remember, I see that the Vaishnav said that Rishon goes to the Rambam Yisrael. That in the context of this mitzvah, the Rambam doesn't exist. I'm not saying Cholina, the Rambam didn't think it was important to believe that. It's not part of this mitzvah. The Chinuch explicitly says, when he talks about this mitzvah, it's just Mitzrayim. And let him continue to be Alel Adah, Shira Matsui, and Rechel Yicholim, Kistotso. And be Alel Adah, Shira Matsui, Bilvado Matsuiim, Rehye Matsui. All the cognitive terms of Das like this and Das like that. Hu Shem Nevi Omer, Hashem Rekim Emet, Hu Levado Emet, ואין האחר אמת כאמיתתו. הוא שתור אמת אלא מלבדו, כלומר אין שם מצוי אמת מלבד כמותו, מלבדו כמותו. המצוי הזה, הוא לקי עולם בין כל הארץ, הוא המנהיג הגלגל וכוח שאין לו כאל תכלית, כוח שאין לו בסגי שבסו בתמים ואפשר לסוף במצובב, והוא ברוך הוא מסביבתו אמור ולא ביד ולא גוף. בידי הדבר הזה, מצוות עשה, This is the landscape, this is the feeling tone of the beginning. Now if you skip to the end of Sefer Mado, you get a totally different picture. Then begins the Prayud, but the need for the revelation of the Shema. And now that is the key to the Avodah, and the ultimate entry to the world to come. So we should have a rabbi every year. And then towards the end of Halacha Beis, after the Rambam said to be Ovid Me'ava, first he tells Halacha Aleph, it's not the Malat Tavim, not the Malat Chachamim, to be with Megira. Baruch Beis tells you, not only that it's not Malat Chachamim, but even amongst the Tavim it's very rare. מעלה זו היא מעלה גדולה מאוד בין כל חכם זוכה לה. והיא מעלת אברהם אבינו שתורה הקדוש ברוך הוא עבור תשלו עבד אל מאבא. So here you stop over here, you think, well, I'm restored by very nice. It's obviously not for me. It's good for Chofetz Chaim. It's good for Del Oil. Why do you and I commit to this? It's about Avraham Avinu. And then he continues, having posited this, on the one hand, as an ultimate goal for the Avraham Avinu of this world, what does he have to say for ordinary people? V'hi ha-ma'ala sh'tzivanu b'kadosh baruch hu adi Moshe shema v'avta et Hashem alakecha. V'zman sh'yehov adam et Hashem ha'aba ha'uya miyad yaseh kol ha-mitzvah me'aba. V'esed yu ha'aba ha'uya. Now compare what's going to be this coming this halacha with what comes in the first verse of Ramadan. He said, "Yabahu ya, who if you have it, Hashem, ahavah gedola, yechira, azam ma'ol, ashtin afshu kshura b'ahavat Hashem. Mitzvah shegeh b'tamid ki l'chol l'chol y'ahavah, shein da'ato p'nuya me'ahavat ata isha. Shegeh b'tamid, b'mishifto, b'mikumo, b'mishah shuchah b'shoteh. Yeter mizeh ti ahavat Hashem v'leivu avar, shegeh b'tamid, k'mo shetzivanu, b'chol v'avchah b'chol nafshecha. והוא ששלום עמד דרך משל, יכולת אהבה אני, כל שיר השירים משל לעניין זה. The distance that I'm traveled over here is enormous. They are totally different perspectives, totally different kind of experience. The cognitive, the intellectual, the provable, they have the first place of matter. He's way over here, something totally different. I mentioned before, what comes closest to the equivalent about the Taisha. Yes?
In terms of the Ramban's view, in terms of the Ramban's view of Mashgacha Pratis, how would Lichtenstein reconcile his comments at the end of Vayera, where he seems to say that there is such a thing as coincidence, with the comments at the end of Bo, where he says, "Kol mikreinu v'vareinu are all gzeiras elyon." At the end of Vayera, the Ramban writes that it's possible for somebody to be left to coincidence, that things happen to him that are just mikra. And then in Bo, he says that everything is hashkafa pratis.
You present as if it's a question about a local contradiction with the Ramban. The issue gets much more than that. Most people today, when they think of Ashgacha, they think, they don't know, they think there's a New Testament. Not a leaf falls to the ground without being directed by divine power, divine authority. And they think constantly in terms of their own well-being. They're being dependent, the turn of Hashem, they're hoping that they can pursue those goods, etc. It's a feeling which I think is positive. The question is not that. The question is not whether it's positive or whether it's accurate. And you ask a question about the still the Ramban. It's not the Ramban. The Ramban and the Ramban both. These are two pillars of Hashem Yisrael in Hashem's times. Both assume that there was a place for chance. Not everything was guided, governed, directed. There are different certain details, very critical details in this respect. In impart who the people, well, who are the people who were left the chance and who are off the screen, so to speak. The man speaks a person's relationship in religious terms, experiential terms. Rambam speaks in a different vein. And speaks of people who do not have proper intelligence, proper understanding, or do not have a Russian way of life. Secondly, in terms of what happens to them, Rambam is not so much described as a willed rejection. It's just that you don't experience it. You're not in contact, you're not in sync. And we can't hear tones which the dogs can hear. Not as anybody's told us stopped by ears. But different sees. A man makes a much more conscious extent of vibration. But this is for both experiences. I want to switch to Rehudas Chonevachim. Ask me a question. I just want to understand the Amman. The answer he gave me was, not that these people are left to chance as if they don't exist with Ashgach. They exist. But the lot which has been cast to them, because of the way they run their lives, is to be subject to the winds of fortune, of accident, and that's what's intended, not more than that. I think that's not the impression one gets in the Amman Devayeho. And even more so, the similar passage in the Amman Spirush in Iyur, bring up the problem, towards the end somewhere. You're clear it's also not that way. The question we have with this is not a philosophical question. So how do we reconcile this with that word? Ashgacha Rishonah Bible play. The problem we have with this is how do we reconcile this emotionally, existentially? And a person has to ask himself, is that where I am? Am I there together with the Ayah Chassid of Yishmael, which the Ramban describes? Seems to be a minority, that doesn't seem to be the norm. Or am I part of the generic account? That's the kind of question which Tennyson and Neymar Warren raises. Where does a person classify himself? And this is why I think that there is some resolve and some way of coping with it. Whether a person can say with total confidence, everything that happens to him is a direct exercise of will on the part of the Bereshit. I don't know whether one can say that with absolute. I do think one wants to live a life, takes the option, that option of consideration. It's a road which is there. Of course, you go that road or even some alley. And the person has to assume that this, the life we've been given to live is one of awesome responsibility, of choice, of options, and where need to be to conclude in the Madraga Sir Ishmael, I don't know. I'm sure it's that question we can leave to chance itself. Person is left to chance if he decides to leave himself to chance. Person's prospect of being a warden of the Ashgacha is to leave the kind of life which takes that as a premise and a point of guidance. I grant you, if one encounters the Ramban, or the Ramban the first time around, it's very disconcerting. And I don't advise running around and telling people to play Balabatim, telling people simple my meaning, to meet me in their respect, to come and tell them, you're such a tzaddik, you're such a fumak. You only knew what the Ramban and the Ramban said. I don't think we should be teaching that to high school kids. I don't think we should be teaching that to people whose emunah is so thoroughly grounded in the sense that, of course, everything that happens to them is all Ashgacha. But at some point, you have to be certain when people hear this, they'll fall out of bed. If the Rabbi's not at the end of the year, it's early in the year. He had that advice that would have been so.
The end of
the Yes.
On the flip side of the first question that was asked about cultivating relationships and bridges, how does that apply when we're talking about not people who are abandoning faith or abandoning the fold, but the flip side talking about more to the right?
The Haredi community, how
far does that extend?
Does it extend past the point where our own community has
been written off? Or what's the cutoff point?
Do you know the answer
to that? What?
Do you know the answer
to that? How important is it for us
that it's a much simpler thing. For Alan Sloan, he's from Newsweek, but financial matters. Someone sent him a question about how the Starbuck would go in a year. And the answer he gave him was, do you think that if I knew the answer to that, I'd be sitting here working for Newsweek? We live a life which is grounded on certain premises, and we should live that kind of life. But to pretend we have all the answers in detail, we have to live in the spirit of the Gemara. We have to build up. All the people you see occasionally, there's a bus accident somewhere, say, no, it's because the mezuzahs were not checked at that school. And the building collapses because the girls were not wearing the proper length skirts. That's it. To all of that pretense, one has to answer to the Mahal Sanat. One says, but Bilam, what does donkey want? I didn't understand, but the Persian man understand. You can have that kind of Chazal had sweep and scope and depth. It was unique to them. They're still living over the world on the board. So they can speak in time to the causality of one kind or another kind. There's so many realities which you see in the world in general, or you see in your immediate vicinity, which leave you only with the possibility to be humble. So much tragedy, so much death, so terrible things. Rather than be able to classify for them, we have to classify it. We have to lead the life, praise Hashem, submission, humility, recognizing who we are, especially recognizing who we are not. For the rest, place of the mercy eventually, and avoid excessive theorizing or excessive building up your self image.
Thank you. Is Rav Lichtenstein of the opinion that that a person is allowed to say that somebody else's blood is redder than theirs, and can say that Torah so menaso, and to not take part in the army because he feels that he prefers to learn?
But there's a preference. It's speaking in terms of duty. The question of duty is supposed to preference, you have to follow duty. And if you ask me, does a person have an option to assume that his duty, Basha Husham, and I am a keen devotee of an essay by F.H. Bradley titled My Station and Its Duties. Every period, every place has its particular duties. Do I think that there's room in the world for people who want, who feel that they're going to contribute to the world, to society, to Yiddish Hashem, to advancing the Rosh Hashanah Ben Shalom, really about to go to the army? Yes, I do. Do I think that everybody who decides because it's more convenient, one way or another, in spiritually convenient, to do that? No, I don't think everybody can have that right. That's a luxury certain people assign themselves. And particularly, I think the problem with that is people like to quote the Rambam. Then the Shmita of Israel, this is proof positive from the point of view that they can do this and it's desirable to do this. But if you look at that Rambam, first of all, the Rambam thought it's a halakha b'maisa, would that appear that it should be able to appear as malachim, but all the halakhas of the army are there. Then the Spiegel ולמה לא זכה לביא ונחלת עצב יתר בחייו תשפודה לבוא את השם שאותו להראות רחב ישרים תשפודה לצלקים לרבים שמיום שאתו על יקבות אותך לישראל לפי כך הובדלו מדרכי העולם לאורכים מלחמת ישראל ישראל ונוחלים ובכין לעצמם בכוח מופן הם חיל השם, שמה ברך שם חילו, וברוך הוא שחיל להם שם יחלך ונחלתך. לא יושב את לוי בלבד, כל איש ואיש וכל בוי העולם, כנוס גויים, כל בוי העולם, כנוס גויים, אשר נחלו וחולתו, לבינו מדעו להיבדל לעבוד לפני השם שותו ולעובדו, לדע את השם, והלך ישר כמו שעשור אלוקים, ופרק מהצבר, עול החשבונות, עול החשבונות רבים שביקשו בני האדם, הרי זה נתקדש קודש קודשים, יהיה שם חכום להחלטו לעולם ובעולמים, נתקיע לו בעולם הזה, זה לא מספיק, לא כמו שזכה לכהנים ולבינים. דוד אבא שלום אומר, השם נתחקים ורוסי הטוב לגורלים. It's a very highly idealized portrait. unquestioned legitimizes what you're talking about. But who does he legitimize it? As a fellow who gets mad and insists on getting a car and an apartment and a rich girl, those are the people that I'm talking about. These are the people who Pakuba and Salam, or Cheshmanot Rabin, Shemishumi Adam. I'm talking about very rare types. And he says the option is open to everybody, but it has to be someone that's not local to. The person has no ambitions, no desires, no appetites in this world. All he wants is to have a basic subsistence level, which enables him to sit and learn, to understand the mission, to understand Torah. I certainly agree that this is a legitimate option, but it has to be a legitimate one, not selectively. Can I decide when it comes to getting the cover that you want, the money that you want, then be like everybody else. When it comes to doing stuff that's onerous and dangerous, then all of a sudden you're included in the that is improper. But there are such people. I think the Christ would have been worse off. The Shem Zama going to the army and said, stay in Chechesim. Of course not. It's much better to stay where he was. This applied to him. But how do you like him out of there?
What if he or she believes his Torah learning will protect the country in a physical way as well?
You know what happens? The old city fell. Did you ever read Jerusalem?
I think so.
You know what happened? The old city fell. People who ran for their lives first. You know. Having a person make the kind of statement you just made, the first thing. Rockets were falling, etc. The first thing they did was pack out everybody at every shiva. The person has to ask himself, does he actually fully believe that in his own life, in his own being? Who are the people who run first to get to go collect the money to go to doctors in America? Ordinary families, ordinary Israeli citizens, have a problem with family, they go to Kupat Cholim, go to the local hospital. They never come back collecting thousands and thousands of dollars because they spoke to somebody who told them that such a person in Baylor Hospital was such a person at the Mayo Clinic. What happened to all the Amunah all of a sudden? I'm in no way judgmental about these people, I understand them. I understand, but that's the reality. The reality is that when you have a mental problem, you know that you have to go to doctors. You know what the Ramban says, not to go to doctors. You go to doctors. If that's the way you live when you have a medical crisis, that's how you should live all the time, a life which is consistent, Ve'ez Hashem, priorities, spiritual values. Be honest with yourself, honest with the world you live in, first and foremost, honest with the bench. If you finish fooling everybody else, you have to just try fooling them. I say again, as far as your question is concerned, it's certainly, to my mind, a legitimate option. Which could be enriching to Klal Yisrael as a whole, but it has to be done with total integrity. I don't have one more question.
In terms of an individual trying to figure out what his duty is, you know, to the Tzibur, to the Kahal, or his family, or I guess more than Zebra, for this specific question. question. How much of an active role should he be looking to play? I mean, should he really, should one who would otherwise be engaging in, let's say, Torah, really, you know, sit back and say, when there's absolutely no one else being the gabbai or being on the Chevra Kedisha or, you know, taking on these roles, only then will I get involved? Or should the individual say that these things have value too? Maybe for myself, maybe I can do it better than some other people, and he or she should look to more actively engage in these roles.
You know, I don't think there's a single answer to these questions. Since Yisroel opens, saying that everyone has to understand and define what's for us to be alone. Well, it is that and his world. Now, that may be good for him, but if somebody down the street should be doing something more, something less. Broadly speaking, the question you raise has to do with a very elementary, very simple question. The Mishnah in Pei. We all know, we say every morning. And we say, don't say them shiu. It says, Tavoteh, this means chasod. Two things, and I'm sure at some point they may clash. Each of them is boundless. And they clash all the time. And the person, how much do you engage in Mr. Sodim when you move to something else? We're just very passionate by Yehva. As I'll say, we're very passionate by Yehva. That one by Mitzir, since Avraham Avinu left the bench and went to deal with three musty, dirty, filthy Arabs, very good discussion. Kabbos Lechim is very great for Kabbos Meshchina. Having made that statement, though, is anyone going to suggest go close the Gemaras and go around all the hospitals in New York or in the hospitals here and visit all the sick people? There's no question there are enough sick people who don't have families enough to visit them, who are not taken care of, who are embittered, who are in dire straits, who will be cheered up if they just remember where to see them. Of course there are. Is that the kind of balance we're going to draw? I went to Chasana last night. First, was married, was remarried. His first wife was sick about a year ago, and she died subsequently. And he called me about come see his wife. I dropped everything. I tell him, I can't come see your wife because even though I know that she's dying, I have to say, but I have to give better shit. That would be the loss of the bench, but at that time of that day. On the other hand, you ask me, do I do this every time, every day? No. We have to strive a certain balance between Torah and Chesed. I repeat again, it's wrong to assume there's only one pattern for everybody. When Ari Levine, the young man, and Elusha, and he was in Slutsk, he went, I forget to whom he went, there was to ask about what she do? How she organized her life? The answer he was given was, he has special talents in human relations, and he should devote himself to that. What whether that made him feel better than if he'd been able to sit alone all the time, probably not, I don't know. But that's the position we take without each of you individual. So in general, it's part of the question with chasodim vis-a-vis Torah, and sense the problems you have in your mother, Talmud the Maaseh. The Maaseh you're talking about is to a great extent Maaseh of Chesed. And Chazal clearly understood several years they debated the question of Talmud the Maaseh. And you have it at times manifested in a simple story. The Gemara Shabbos. The following story. Turn to the proper. My word will come from Hashem Rabbah Avuna, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Torah, Ve'en Bo Yirat Shomayim. אומר לגזבה שמסו מפתחות הפנימיות ומפתחות החיסונות לא מסו לו. בהעיל, לא מסו בהעיל, לא מסו דור אנטר. ואחרי זה ביאנה חבר דלת לדלת ותר לדלת אובי. He doesn't have a proper house, he built a gate for the house. אמר יהודה, וברא הקדוש ברוך הוא את עולמו אלא כדי שיראו בלפניו, שמה ברקים עשה שיראו בלפניו. ושימו לב לא זוהר, הווה יתבי. כמה רואה הם עושה לי? הוא רואה את עושים. חוליף, לא זוהר רב יגב ברכה. יגב ברכה, פסטם ביי. אומר אחד החבר, ניסטו, עושים לב לא זוהר, נקו מקמי, stand up as Allah. And God will kill Chatoim. You're a Shemaim, but stand up as Allah. Amar Yidach, the other one said to him, make me come in, but not because you're a great Chil Chatoim. He got away in Islam. Amar Yidach said to him, Amidach, I know you're a Chil Chatoim, I'm telling you, the person's in the Shemaim, in the Chet, I'm with the Yad, but we know. You tell me, I have respect for his learning. And then he goes on to say, it's time for Belozo, we don't believe the Kifa Toynu. Before you were mentioned, we've seen a Belozo, we don't know who said what. The Rebbe Chushu, Belozo, Eina Chushmach, Bala Moli, Yad Shema Bilvad. ואתה יסור שם כאילו שם בלבקים מירד בגובל. כתיב, יום על האדם בן ירד השם היא חוכמה, שכן בלשון יווני, קוראים לה אחת הן. term הן in Greek means one. תום מרואים, each of you value learning, each of you value the שמיים. זה הקושם, had them only one or bad than the other. Nevertheless, when it came to prioritizing what was there by a particular person, which made it so great, the devotees used to go around the yeshivas in Eastern Europe, said the Chofetz Chaim was such a big tzaddik, that masked his loneliness in the Shibur. Chaim was such a big lamb than the Master Sitkis. We have to understand, can't expect everyone to be doing the same thing in the world. speaks of, we read the Rambam before, Hashem has his army, his soldiers, which is designated for Avedis Hashem in the Mikdash. So where did everybody else? Everybody has prayer sent to the army, no? They went to Adchir Hashem. We live in a very complex world. So much importance needs to be done. And whatever you do is at the expense of everything else. Example I mentioned before. A year ago, I did one for a day, but I went to visit there. I went last night again. I also could not have gone there. I would have learned more last night if I had not gone there. That person has to know when they see me, but then he says, well, push in one direction, another direction. Don't expect ready-made, easy solutions. Quantification, one direction, quantification, another direction. Let's just confront honestly the question. Indeed, there are people who are cut out to be gaboyim, and that's their contribution to the local community. And others kind of for other things. Okay.